And thanks to Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, we can help you get that car, keep it running. If you have to bring in your vehicle, car, truck, van, whatever the case may be, into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop because there's something going on with it, you don't know what, maybe Dan can shed some light on that. So call Dan or send us a text. The phone number is open. We've cleared the lines. 651-989-9226. You know, we tend to get busy. Dan is going to be here till about 7:45, so don't wait if you do have some kind of a car care question. 651-989-9226, or send a text, if that's easier, 81807. Morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Nice morning today.
Beautiful morning.
Now, I suppose you have to go into Lloyd's.
I don't. I get to go into Lloyd's.
Oh, you do.
Yeah,
it's a privilege.
I don't
honor.
Have to.
You get to. I thought you might be biking today.
I should be, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little breezy.
Is it windy? Okay.
Yeah, but we'll go later on.
All right. Should be a nice day. Well, we mentioned this last week that if we missed, and we did, on some of the text messages, we'd grab some.
Oh, good idea.
As we get underway today. But do call us or send a text if you have any kind of a car care question. I think we may have touched on this, although I did get another message, another text about it. This is a 2014 Buick Verano. All the tires have the correct PSI when checked. The digital display inside the car shows one tire 2 pounds lower. Could the problem be the tire sensor? And I think you answered that before.
Yes.
Are they hard to replace?
No. I mean, no. Not for me.
No.
You have to break the tire down, and you know, the sensor on most tires is part of the valve stem.
Okay.
And it needs to come out of the car, and then the new one needs to be reprogrammed. And what we actually do is if the sensor still works, if the battery's not completely dead, we can read the old sensor with a radio frequency reader, and then we can write that information into the new sensor, and that way, you know, the car knows which sensors it's supposed to be reading. Because of course, if you park next to a car, you know, that has similar sensors, it would not know which ones are yours.
So, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So they all have different frequencies.
It's kind of like these phones, the Bluetooth, when you're, if you have a Bluetooth capability in your vehicle, you could be picking up your wife's phone. You could be picking, you know, have you seen that?
Well, I've seen it when somebody's standing in the office at Lloyd's and they receive a phone call and they're close enough to their car. I'm listening to the conversation in the car.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah. So be careful of that, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
651-989-9226. We'll get back to the phones, but we did promise we'd pick up on some of these text messages. There's a 2018 Silverado 1500 LTZ. Less than 400 miles on the vehicle. No navigation system. Supposed to use navigation system on my cell phone and then into the car radio and screen. I keep getting a notice of searching for GPS and or signal lost. Drove from Highway 65 to 694 to White Bear Avenue and 694. I don't see a finished text.
Well, they're describing a setup problem.
Okay. Oh, sure.
You know, that the car is not picking up their phone or that portion of their phone like they want it to, or the car was mistakenly programmed. Part of the car was mistakenly programmed looking for navigation, and it does not have it.
Yeah.
So it probably needs to go back. It's a new vehicle and probably needs to go back and either get reprogrammed or give you a lesson on how it all works. Because, boy, oh, boy, when you pick up a new car, there's a lot to know.
I'll tell you what.
Even if they went through it, you're not going to get it all.
I finally did what you suggest all, not finally, I've done it before. But some of these newer cars are so detailed. They have so many things, high-tech stuff.
Right.
I had to go look in the manual.
Right.
For which looks like the Bible.
You're actually a little techier than I am, and you know, when it comes to all the bells and whistles, and you like them, you know. So you're pretty good at it.
But you got to do it when you're not driving.
You have to do it when you're not driving. Yeah, and you got to, you know, you got to like it and
that's
get into
true.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. We have to go to the phones. We don't have to. We want to. There's a one line open for your car care question. 651-989-9226. Let's see who's first up. John is calling from Bloomington. John, you're on with Dan. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. If you have a late model car that has these air pressure sensors in the tires, which just drives me crazy because I can just look at a tire and tell if it's low on air, can you have them removed and not put back in?
You can have them removed. The trouble is you're going to have that little light, that little icon on your dash that's going to stay on.
Okay.
But the sensors, you know, that does nothing for the car. I mean, it it's just a warning for you if the tires or if the tires are getting low. But
Thank you.
Can't do it without having the warning icon on the dash.
Okay. Very good, John. Thank you. John leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. Send a text if you like, 81807. Jerry is calling from Pine Island. I believe, Jerry, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've had a long-standing problem with the 2003 Camry. When it's a hot, sunny day, the back two doors freeze up, and I can't unlock them from the outside or the inside. I can unlock the passenger side with a key and the driver's side with a key, but the back two doors, with a sunny day, the Toyota dealership is unable to diagnose the problem.
Yeah.
And I wondered, what do I do? Because I've taken it in. I took it in recently. I took off a half day work, and unfortunately, it was a cool day.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they have, I'm sure it has automatic door locks, a button that you can push to unlock all the doors. And with automatic door locks, it has what we call door actuators. It's a little motor that when you push the button causes the locks to go up and down. And what I suspect is that that door actuator, when it gets hot, stops working and, in fact, gets stuck in place. And so if you were at my shop, what I would do is take one of those door panels off, which doesn't take too long. It's a pretty quick job, and disconnect that door actuator. Now, your automatic door lock won't work anymore, but it will be a test for us to do and then have you take the car for a little while and be and see if with the door lock actuator disconnected, if you can unlock it manually in those conditions when it's hot again. So that's what I'd recommend, is have the door actuator disconnected and see if that solves your problem. If it does, then both of those back door actuators will need to be replaced.
That could be it.
Yep.
All right. There you go, Jerry. Before we break, Mary is calling from St. Paul, I believe, with a question for Dan. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Hi there, fellow. Thank you for this program.
Thank you.
And I have a quick question.
Sure.
Anyway, I have a 2012 Chevy Impala, and the thing is, when I shut and when I turn the key off in the car, the motor still goes. It goes the putt 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 putt.
Uh-huh, so it's still running on there, Dan.
Yes.
You know, I've seen that, and my
carburetor problem.
Not on a 2012. No, don't have carburetors anymore. Haven't had those for a long, long time.
Long time.
But there's probably something out of adjustment. I don't know if your check engine light is on or not. Is it?
Is it on, Mary, did you say?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Yeah. So at any rate, if you bring it into the shop and ask them to, first of all, see what you're talking about. There's a chance. I mean, I'm not sure how long it continues to run, but I'm not if it might be normal or not. Probably not if you're concerned about it. But you almost need to, you know, a professional would almost need to see exactly what it's doing in order to help you much with that, to see if it's a key thing where the it's not shutting off the way it's supposed to, if it's a relay thing that's getting stuck and causing the car to run on. But I think if you take it in, probably for free, somebody would give you an idea of what you should do with it.
I see Mary's in St. Paul. She could head right over
to
Lloyd's.
Right. That's right. You bet.
All right. Very good. All right, Mary, thank you. We have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till 7:45 answering your car care questions. 61 degrees now, heading for 80 later today. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny along here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right on the heart of Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give Nick a call this morning.
Nick's there today.
He is, 651-228-1316.
Good deal. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us today, too. Dan, we have callers, we have texters. Let's get to it. Who's next? Tom is calling from Baldwin with a question. Go ahead, Tom. You're on CCO.
Yeah, good morning. I have a 94 Mercury Capri with a 1.6 engine, and all my gauges are regular gauges. They show you your temperature. They show you your alternator, you know, everything like that. Mm-hmm. Something happened last week. It shows 30 to 40 pounds of oil pressure, and I was driving home, and I got about 5 miles from there, and all of a sudden I looked down, and the gauge was on the red. In fact, it was completely dead. And I knew I had oil in there, so I continued home. And about, maybe 5 miles later, I looked down. It was back up to 30, 40 pounds of oil pressure again. And I don't hear no clicking or clattering like, you know, your engine's getting ruined or not. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on here.
Well, for me, it's an easy test. For you, not quite so much because you don't have the tools. But what I would do is you know, there's an oil pressure switch somewhere on the engine that's actually reading the oil pressure. I would remove that pressure switch and put in a mechanical gauge, you know, a different gauge, and confirm that it truly does have oil pressure. I suspect that it does. And then when the car is acting up, if the oil gauge or if the when you take that oil sensor out, you might as well just replace it because they're inexpensive.
Oh, okay.
And see if that takes care of the problem. If it does not, then there's two things left: the wiring between that switch and the gauge in the car, or the gauge in the car itself has failed. One of those things is wrong, but most commonly it's the sensor itself. And if you replace that sensor, that'll probably take care of it for you.
All right, very good. Thank you, Tom. George is calling from Edina. George, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. I have a friend who used to be very insistent that when he got a new set of tires that they be matching. I asked what that meant, and he says that there was code numbers on the tire sidewall that indicated the plant that the tires are made in and the time frame in which the tires are made in. Is this a concern that people should have? They get matched set of tires that come from the same place and are the same age or not?
Well, I would say I've never checked that. I know how to check it, but I've never checked to see that it's a matching set, and I've never had a problem. And I think with today's technology, you can count on the fact that the tires, no matter where they're made or when they're made, are made identically. And so I think it's, if you want a matching set, I'm sure that can be done too. And I bet most commonly they're matching anyway. I think most commonly they're, you know, the pile of tires you get from the warehouse came from the same place and on the same truck and are, you know, probably matching anyway.
All right. Good question. Interesting question. Thank you, George. I want to grab a text before we break. It's a 2016 GMC Terrain. The radio now requires double the volume to hear it, i.e. volume of 10 just to hear the radio. Your thoughts?
Well, I'd have to look at the wiring schematic on that to see if the amplifier is built into the radio, in the radio itself. It probably is. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you've got the radio, the amplifier, or the speakers, you have a bunch of speakers, so it's probably not a failed speaker that's causing this. It's probably the amplifier and the radio itself, and probably is going to, as it continues to get worse, it's probably going to require replacing that radio.
So you'd have to find a schematic to find out.
Right, to make sure that the amplifier is not separate from the radio.
I see.
But commonly they are part of the radio.
We have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Dan's going to be with us for about another 12, 15 minutes, so don't go away. Call us, text us. 61 degrees. We'll have that forecast coming right up, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We will do that, D. Lee, in the Twin Cities, 61 degrees, the remaining minutes of our car care show with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping you out by phone and by text. Dan, Greg is calling in from Burnsville with a question. Go ahead, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got a 81 Corvette, completely original air conditioning, and at 1,000 RPM, coming to a stop or idle, as the tachometer hits 1,000 RPM, I get a big drone noise. I'm thinking it might be the compressor, but I don't want to change out to the new type of AC. Does that sound like a compressor issue to you, like a bearing?
Well, that would be easy to check. Just disconnect the compressor and see if the noise goes away.
It does when I turn off the air conditioning, but is the compressor the only moving part on that?
Well, no. I mean, along with the compressor running, you have a flow. You know, you have a flow of the gas that's happening at the same time. But I mean, if it's loud like that, most commonly I would say that it's a compressor. But the part that I'm a little bit confused about is the RPM part of it. Why is it only doing it at that speed, and does the compressor otherwise sound normal? So I'd kind of want to hear that before I speculated on what to replace on that.
So what would you do if Greg took it to
I'd
Lawrence?
Want to, I,
just on the road?
Yeah, we would put an ear to it. You know, we actually have a stethoscope-looking thing that we can pinpoint noises. We can actually touch different components on the vehicle and find out exactly where the noise is coming from. But I suspect the noise is probably coming from the compressor, but I'd want to hear it to be sure of that.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. We have texters to help out too, Dan. See if we can find it. I used to have, here's another one. A 2015 Ford F700 straight truck DEF system. What is that?
I don't know.
Is having increased regenerating cycles. Turbo. Wow, this is detailed. Turbo pyrometer is around 850 degrees at 1,800 RPM. Somebody's testing you and me.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
First disclaimer is I do not do much with diesel engines, so I don't know a lot about diesel engines or the new technology to make them clean diesels. We service them, like in a lot of the cars, but we don't have too much experience with diesel engine.
Okay. Here's a text that says, is my transmission going? I have a bad whine when I step on the gas. Then it seems when decelerating, I can hear a bad whine when going into first. When putting in neutral while driving, it seems to stop. It's a 2004 Tahoe. 270,000 miles on it. Is it even worth fixing?
Well, that's a good one. It's worth checking out because there's a good chance that, you know, with the vehicle accelerating or decelerating, we call that you have a load on the engine on the vehicle. The noise could certainly be coming from the transmission, but it could be coming from a lot of other places too. So I guess I would at least spend a little bit of money doing some checkout on it. It sounds like it's been a good vehicle for you. And if it's something short of a transmission, you probably are interested in repairing it. With 270,000 miles, if it needs a transmission, probably not.
I mean,
that's probably over the top.
Big expense.
For that type of vehicle.
Yeah, given the mileage.
Right.
Here's a text that says tire sensors. We were talking about that earlier. Texter says, I have an E350 15 passenger, rear tires at 80 pounds, front tires at 55 pounds. What happens when you rotate tires?
You change that. Yeah, no, we and I actually just did one not long ago, and that's exactly what we had to do is you need to let air out of the back tires when you put them on the front and then air up the back tires. That's actually an interesting question and something that we should all be aware of. You know, on the when you're checking the air on your tires, everyone says, well, how much air should we put in? And the answer is you should put exactly what the manufacturer recommends. And front and rear are often different. And if you look on the door jamb of the driver's door, when you open the driver's door, if you look on the jamb, you'll find a little sticker that has the tire size and a whole bunch of information about tires. And it also tells you how much air to put in the front and rear tires. And I recommend that you do just what they suggest, put in what they recommend. And there are some cars that are fancy enough that if you put too much air in, it'll turn your tire light on.
So, really?
Yeah, they don't want too much. They don't want too little. They want it just right.
And don't they usually, I think when I've read either the manual or like you said, the door jamb, a cold tire, to check it when the tires are cold, well, not hot?
That's another point that you bring up because I've checked on my own car. You know what? It reads out the pressures on the dash. You can check and see how much your tire pressure is. And I've watched the tire pressure go up a couple of PSI as the tires warm up as I'm driving down the highway.
Yeah.
So they definitely go up when it's warm and they go down when it's cold. And that's one of the reasons some people put nitrogen in their tires are in their tires so that
there's not a fluctuation.
Right,
like
oxygen is the thing that expands and contracts.
Ah.
And if you take the oxygen out of there, then that does not happen.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I remember years ago, Dan, that we did a show. Suddenly, people were calling in about how many miles on their vehicles. You remember that?
Yeah, really? Right.
And we have no way of scientifically proving that.
We got up to a million, though.
I think so. This one came in just a bit ago. An update on my 2010 Chevy Equinox. Current mileage, 499,750. I should hit 500,000 on Monday.
Oh, wow.
How
about
that?
That's just amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
Cars go that with care and maintenance, a car will take you that far. That's just amazing.
It's true.
In a 2010, it must never park.
know, Always
50,000 miles a year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have to run and make way for Jack Farrell, and we'll do more car care next week. Right?
Sounds
but
good.
How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Give us a call. Nick is there this morning at 651-228-1316. You can come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS.
Excellent. We'll talk cars next week, Dan.
Sounds good.
A good deal. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. 61 degrees in the Twin Cities. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead here on CCO.